radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolley.
And this is State of the Art
on LA Talk Radio.
And we'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services, for supporting us this year. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
Our thanks also go out to PerformingArtsLive.com for their support of our live arts calendar. Performing Arts Live is the most comprehensive online directory of event information for music, theater, and dance events in Southern California.
That's right, Paul. And in a few minutes, we'll be talking to a truly legendary vocalist, an accomplished performer. She sang with Josh Groban. She has sung with Andrea Bocelli and shared the stage with countless celebrities, including Barbara Streisand, Faith Hill, Celine Dion, Richard Marx, Stevie Wonder, and Yolanda Adams. Nita Whitaker LaFontaine joins us in studio today. Welcome,
hello,
Nita.
Hello, hello.
Nice to see your
nice
beautiful face.
Nice to be seen. Thank you.
And I will do the applause. Thank you so much.
So glad to have you. Hello.
And later in the hour, she recently received universal critical acclaim for her performances, Katharine Hepburn in Tea at Five, a fixture on the Southern California cabaret scene with an upcoming gig at Palm Springs' legendary Blame It on Midnight, a favorite guest here on State of the Arts, the irrepressible Cissy Connor is with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Don't stand up, please.
Could you tell? It's going to be a good one. I can tell
yes,
right now.
Indeed.
If the pre-show conversation is any indication as to what the show is going to be,
absolutely.
I think it's going to be a good one.
Yes.
You've already been talking about...
Naked people.
Emperor clothes.
Gesticulating.
I was trying to be a little more eloquent. Think of that. Naked.
Naked.
You only hear the Southern in you with naked.
Naked.
You
haven't heard me say towel. Or spotter.
What?
Southern girl.
What's your...
Where?
Grits.
Where from?
Louisiana?
Yeah. I'm from Alabama.
We say naked.
Naked. We say towel. We say spotter.
I knew we didn't need
heel.
To be here.
I
knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's the Nita Connie.
It's the Grits. It's the girls raised in the South. We call ourselves Grits.
There you go.
We say kiss my.
Okay.
Well, first of all, everybody, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Paul. You know, we haven't spent too much time talking about New Year's.
We haven't.
Yeah. And, a lot of people are saying to me, though, it's not like the best start off of a New Year.
Well, I don't know. I have a different opinion of that because just today, I met Ted Williams, the homeless man.
I'm doing a story on him here.
I just met him this morning, and several of us that... are connected to Don LaFontaine, Boris Vallejo.
Yes.
Contributed and are getting him his union card.
Well, I think that's unbelievable.
Woo, that was great.
That was a great.
It's astounding that you say that because Michael and I always have a little snack at Jinky's Cafe before we come here before the show, and that was the topic of conversation. Was the same gentleman.
Exactly, and I might as well expound on that. And you can chime in too. Ted Williams, ladies and gentlemen, a 53-year-old former radio announcer who became homeless after battling drugs and alcohol. Attracted millions of YouTube hits after the Columbus Dispatch newspaper posted a video last Monday of Williams begging on the side of a road in Columbus using his radio MC imitations. And by Thursday, he was on the Today Show to talk about new voiceover job offers with the Cleveland Cavaliers basketball team and the food maker Kraft and his stunning instant rise from begging on the streets. And very much like the Susan Boyle kind of thing that
only
happened.
In America.
Only in America.
America can you go from a cardboard box.
You know who's
to a
cool? Who's cool is the guy that discovered him?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he went looking. Yeah, he saw him and he looked for him again for 2 weeks. He gave him $20. Then 2 weeks he looked for him, couldn't find him, and finally found him. And then he said, will you please talk into my camera this time?
Yes.
And so he's the guy that searched him down. So he's like, you know, a great kind of guy.
Yeah.
Well, when I heard this story, and knowing that you were going to be on the show, I said, gee, I got to talk about this because of Don, and it's so beautiful. Huh?
It's a Don would have reached out to this guy in a heartbeat and wanted to mentor him and teach him and help him along. And he has a love of reading already, which is a great foundation for wanting to do voiceover. He's so overwhelmed and
I'm sure.
And just can't believe his good fortune. He said, I was in a cardboard box last week. He keeps saying that today. And there was a gentleman with him who is his manager who used to hire him for local concert events. He would find him, go to his little hut, his little tarp in right. the woods, bring him out, have him do the announcement, and take him back because that's where he lived. And for
what
4 years.
What a story.
Michael and Paul got me today out of my tent.
And we're putting you right back in after this show.
A little two-bedroom thing.
It's the only cardboard box with a velvet rope
right.
leading up to it.
And the runway.
Not to belittle this Ted Williams situation. I don't mean.
Well, you know, let me just say one thing in conclusion of that, Paul. He said, with the lesson on treating the homeless, he said a very simple. Don't judge a book by its cover. Everybody has their own little story.
Yeah, it's about second chances.
Yeah.
And I think that's what hit us all so beautifully about his story.
Well, I tell you, with you have always have a heartwarming story to tell, in this case about a singer, which is very fitting because we
yes.
have singers on the show today.
Yeah.
But for every heartwarming, sweet story that you have, I have one that is truly stomach-churning, and but yet it involves singing, so yeah. I thought I would share it,
really?
If that's okay.
Sure.
File this under Best Not to Ask Why. This is the Frederick, I found this, I should give credit to this. This is off News of the Weird on the Internet. Frederick Helmquist, 45, owner of an audio shop in Stockholm, demonstrated in November his system of broadcasting music from his stomach. He swallowed a plastic capsule containing a battery-operated audio setup, then connected an amplifier to a stethoscope and held it against his belly and began playing recorded music, including the Village People's YMCA, until the battery died 3 hours later. Helmquist admitted that the audio quality was poor, but still hopes to sell the system for the equivalent of $17,000.
What's so weird about that?
I just want to know how this is supposed to come out.
Yeah. Well, the shelf life is about 24 hours. That's what we figured, right?
Did you want a refund on that CD? No.
Yeah.
No.
With the gastric juices all attached.
Oh,
well,
this is
my question. Because anyone, you know when you're in church or when you're at a wedding or something, I mean, how much time we've spent, Borborygmi, belly noise is called borborygmi. There's actually a term for it. The stomach growling, borborygmi, which is kind of onomatopoetic because it does sound a little, oh, borborygmi, sounds like that. So that's a
can
steal.
Can you say that one more
that's
time?
A steal. I would, but that's a steal from George Carlin, so I can. But so I was just thinking that all this time we've tried to sort of quell that, and now someone is trying to make money off that. But I was thinking, what a great trick to play on somebody. Like at a wedding or something.
Sure.
To just slip them a Mick Jagger.
Like the old, whoopee cushion. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Just drop a capsule in their drink and then... Do me a favor, Michael. Pretend you're officiating at a wedding.
All right.
Would you?
Of course.
Good.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in the presence of these witnesses to join them in holy matrimony.
What do you think? Does it work?
I don't know what to think about that, Paul. I don't know. Do you think it worked?
I don't know.
We might have to practice.
Yeah.
Okay. That is my... So you had heartwarming. I had stomach churning.
There you go. That's true. But that's all right. That's okay. And I'm so happy that the synergy was there to talk about Mr. Williams. I mean, that's amazing.
I can't believe that. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And
that's
we did not pre-discuss that either.
No, we did not.
Not any. But I think we should move on to our interviews here, right?
Please do, Michael.
All right. Well, let me tell you, Paul, that in Grace by Gospel, trained in opera, honed in pop, our first guest's voice is a remarkable instrument that's impossible to define. Having recorded 3 independent CDs, she continues to pull all the elements of her training together into a fusion of pop, soul, R&B with a dash of gospel, and delivers a beautiful blend of music that soothes the soul, enhances the senses, and elevates the spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Nita Whitaker LaFontaine.
Hello, hello. I love that applause. Yeah. I live for it.
And it's so natural sounding, isn't it?
We carry them everywhere we go.
I need one of those in my car.
I usually just applaud for myself. Not it's hard feeling. To drive.
It kind of is. You need a button, you know? Need a button.
So, Nita.
Yes. Hi, Michael.
First of all, hi, my sweet, lovely lady.
Hello, hello.
And pretty.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, right? She's so pretty. You can't see her on the radio.
She brought some of her posse here. I mean, she didn't bring her, really. Some of her posse met her here. Mrs.
Yes,
Scott Umphress, who's in the studio with us. Welcome, Scott.
You know what? I didn't know Scott was coming. I apologize, Scott. There you go. You can't hear it because you don't have a headset, but you're being applauded.
There you go.
I really need another sound bite,
what
though.
Is it that little
applause, applause.
Well, you know, I have the great pleasure, Paul, this coming Sunday to have Miss Whitaker grace my stage at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City once again.
And what exactly is that, Michael?
That's
Sterling's
the
place.
Number one supper club in Los Angeles.
That's oh, is
dedicated
it?
To presenting the best of Broadway performers in concert and the best of nightclub artists in concert. And Nita is returning after a couple of years of absence, and we are thrilled to have her.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think for people that are listening, I was telling Paul about this a little earlier today about, you know, your beginnings. And a lot of people don't know this about you, but those who don't should. And I'd love for you to take us back to that time when you were on Star Search.
Oh, my.
The original Star Search.
It
13
like
times undefeated champion, setting a record there. And that was really kind of the big kickstart, right?
I think so. Yeah. Yes, I would say so. I started Star Search. For me, everything is equivalent to where my children were. When I everything.
That's your yardstick.
Yeah. Everything is like, how was Sky then, or how was Lisi? So when I booked Star Search, let me go back. I had done a play with Sam Harris, who had been on Star Search, and I was an understudy, and it was a four-person play that he had written, he and his brother, and we had to play different characters in at the West Coast Playhouse. And loved Sam. He's just brilliant. After the show, he says, hey, if you ever want to get on Star Search, I can get you an audition. I was like, you know, I've auditioned four times. I don't think they want me, but thanks anyway.
Really?
After the show, became pregnated with child. and had the baby and thought, okay, you know, I'm probably want to stay home for a while. No.
Yeah.
So had that little pumpkin, pumped her out. And I called Sam and was like, I need to work. Can you get me an audition? And around the same time, Big Break. Remember that show, Big Break?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was on the air. And I had gone in audition for that. I was just trying to, you know, find another door. And so though I go to Big Break, and the next week I go in for Star Search. And I had been to four auditions before. Nashville, Dallas, Houston. I'd gone to all of them where there's long lines and you wait and they videotape you and you get the letter. We think you're great, but... We think you're great, but okay. So, so I come out here and I'm thinking, don't think this is gonna happen. So I go and there's nobody there but me, and I lose the line. And little Sky was 2 months old. I was heavy laden with milk feeding breasts. They were lovely. And so I go in and it was just me. He said, oh, it's just you. So I think, okay. So I did my two standard songs, When He Shines, and Respect. Aretha Franklin, yes, you did. Yes, Riri. And then we go, I leave. I'm thinking, I don't know what's going to happen. I just left it. And within the same week, they both called me. Big Break said, hey, why don't you be on our show? I was like, really? Yeah. Really? And then Star Search called. I was like, okay, is this a joke? Because I've done this four times, and this has not happened. So this was my fifth try. And they said, no, really, we're really Star Search. And I was like, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, this show's been around longer. I'm going to go with Star Search. And that was it. So I got in the show. Sky was 3 months. I was a nursing mom. And I kept thinking, well, I'm probably not going to win. I'm just going to win a couple, and I'll get booted off, and that's okay, because the people that lose do better than the ones that win. So it goes. I got on the first show, and they put me against a country singer, and I won. And it actually was a tie. It was a tie, and they had to do the audience thing. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is a reality check. And so I won, and then I thought, okay, the next time I'll lose. And then I just kept winning. Because my thought was, okay, get off stage because your boobs are blowing up. That was my whole mindset.
Or not.
I have to feed the child.
That was actually the name of the band for a while, was Nita Whitaker and her milk-laden breasts.
Oh, I remember that group.
Yeah. Tonight only, Nita Whitaker.
So 13 weeks later, I marched into semifinals on uncontested and did my song, and then I was up for finals, and I thought, okay, however it goes. I just wanted to do a good performance. That was all I really wanted. I just wanted to do a good performance every time, and if I won, great. If I didn't win, I was okay with that. I just wanted to leave with a good impression of, wow, at least that was a great performance. So they called my name, and I screamed so loud that I gave myself a headache because I was totally not expecting it. I think I surprised myself.
You screamed so loud.
I screamed so loud. It's one of those, almost like you were in shock. I was like, ow, it hurt.
I have to ask, I have a question about that, though.
Okay.
Is when, when you scream so loud that you give yourself a headache, is it an instantaneous headache, or does it arrive like later on?
It's like, did you, a second after the scream finished when you realize that was you making that noise, and then you go, oh, it hurts so bad. It's just a delayed reaction. So I'm standing there, I'm smiling, but my head is going, dun-dun, dun-dun.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, ooh, man. But I was completely shocked. I did not expect to win. And it did nothing for my career in the sense that, you know, like you come out of Idol now, you've got a deal, you've got,
they give you a check
and say, nice, honey, good luck with that.
But didn't that,
here's your check, nice cans.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Didn't David Foster, though, see you on that series? That Isn't that how the connect was there with David
Foster?
Well,
he didn't see me on the show. I hired a publicist for 8 months and didn't get a blurb in jet. And that's okay, I'm not bitter. But the one thing the publicist did was he introduced me to David Foster. David was working on the record at Post Logic, which was a place my husband used to work doing. He was doing a record there, and David was doing a Christmas project. He had a broken leg. He had just gotten married. How do I remember all these things? Anyway.
So I you're Mary Lou Henner.
I just saw that, right? With the biological thing?
Hello.
I'm not that good, though.
You mean,
I don't know where my
December 17th, 1983, where were you?
Feeding
it was
a baby.
Sunday.
Feeding a baby. See, in Africa with my shirt off, right?
See, you do remember. You do remember.
I had laundry on my head. There was.
You know? Where were we, Michael?
We were talking about David Foster.
So, that was the introduction. The publicist introduced me to David, and that began a relationship of mentor-peer. I learned a lot from him. He invited me to do some live appearances and then some demos, and we just sort of started.
And one of the demos you did, as I recall, wasn't it, from The Bodyguard? You did the song that Whitney Houston released.
I Have Nothing.
Wasn't it so good that David put you in the film, your version of it?
Yeah, Mick Jackson is the director. He put me in the film. Of course, I wanted to be Whitney's sister. I was like, I act too, y'all. But they were like, we have a New York actress, and, you know, she's got experience and credits, darling. And I was like, ugh.
And
she showed
why. You were too pretty.
Oh,
that was it.
And I had large boobs.
Oh, and you can't upstage people.
I know.
And that's fine, Miss Whitaker, but we'd appreciate it if you'd put your top on. Because it's not that kind of show. Please.
But I did get a small role in the film, singing the song at the Oscars, and it was a nice moment for me. It was nice.
And when you were, another part of your life, when you were Miss Louisiana, and I think that was back in 1994, wasn't it?
Oh, darling, no.
2004.
I'll take a check.
I'll take that, but no, darling.
1984.
There you go.
Oh, you.
That was another lifetime ago in the days of pageants when girls used to wear the teased hair and we used to tape our boobs.
Yep.
We keep coming back to boobs. Taping our boobs. I never did that because I didn't have that problem at the time. But and you had to have the three diamonds where the tops of your thighs, your knees, and your calves were supposed to touch. Mine did not meet. They did not know each other at that time. They have since met and become well acquainted, but that was one that they called the three diamonds, and used to have group judging, and talent was 50% of the overall, you know, so it's completely changed. Now they're like supermodels. They're walking down the runway giving you like Tyra Banks, and, you know, we just have to stand and, you know.
No one wants to see pictures of themselves from 1984, though.
No.
Do you see pictures of me from 1984? Because I had a perm.
Right?
I had a perm.
Did?
I looked, with I this
imagine.
Nose and a perm, I looked like a cockatiel. I did.
Or a used Q-tip.
I did. I was Howard Stern after the accident. You know. And then, like, I was the same height I am now. I was 45 pounds less than I am now. My hips were forming a rain gutter for my waist.
It's very thin.
But I'm now. So it was 84.
I was the year after Vanessa Williams.
Jealousy. So you behaved yourself.
Well, had to. She actually crowned me. She came to my pageant and crowned me, and she and I went to New Orleans for the World's Fair that was in New Orleans that year, and it was paparazzi. It was the first Miss Louisiana was black, and the first Miss America was black, and oh my gosh,
it was a big deal.
It was a very big deal in the South, you know.
Yeah, that was
and,
huge.
And Edwin Edwards was our governor at the time. You know, he's in jail now, but I mean, really, he really is.
It's a little aside.
Yeah. Bless his heart.
He was just bless his heart. He was just a crook. Bless his heart.
He didn't mean to do wrong.
The man ain't right.
But it was my fourth try. Nothing has never been like first try. Oh, here she is. It was like the fourth try. And that's okay because I believe in the journey. That's what you learn.
Sure.
Is when you get there, you really appreciate it. I suppose if it happens right away. But it was fantastic. It was something I wanted. And I always thought the All-American Girl had classically been white. I was an All-American Girl.
What song did you sing?
I sang Over the Rainbow.
Did you sit down on the stage?
No, you couldn't do that back then. But I did a back bend at the end that was very impressive.
Ooh.
Well, and it wasn't
like
intentional. It was just the weight.
Just the weight of the hair.
When you hit the last note, you just started bending backwards.
Yeah. They were like, wow, that's pretty good. That's
like, just like a rainbow.
There you go.
Yeah, great. It sounds magical. So anyway.
It was grand. It was really a wonderful thing. And what the interesting thing about that is with the Star Search, and I'm sure you've experienced this too.
Oh, sure.
You don't know.
I also have a voice that's impossible to define.
But we're trying.
We're trying. It's so interesting that when you're on the road to your dreams, you don't realize how many people you're affecting, who you give permission to have theirs. That's what continually surprises me when people come up to me and say, oh, you're Miss Louisiana. I've always wanted to be. I'm thinking, really? I'm just Nita? But when you're on the way to pursuing what your dreams are for your life, it somehow gives permission to other people. Well, if she's doing that, then I can try that. Mm. And I find that so fulfilling in a way. It's not something you set out to do. It's just something that kind of is a byproduct. And I think that is one of the loveliest things about having any kind of notoriety.
But that's why people embrace it, because it is not something that you trade on. It's something that naturally comes out of you, and people embrace that because it's a natural adherence. It's not people like, you know, it's not like you're pushing it. You don't have a salesmanship about you. And I think that's why people embrace it, and that's probably why you've noticed it.
Thank you.
I mean, that's my observation.
Absolutely. Now, Miss Louisiana was before or after Star Search?
Before.
Okay, good. Yeah. And you went on to Miss America?
I did, and didn't win anything.
But what an experience that must have been, too, right?
It was really fun.
Yeah,
I would
as
do
a
it
young
all
woman.
Again.
That was
it was really great. I didn't get any accolades. I didn't win non-finalist talent. Didn't win any of that, because that was my goal. I was going to do this and then get national exposure, and that didn't happen. So I had to come back home and figure out, okay, how do I still do this thing? How do I get to there? I had my little nursing job because I could work as a nurse. I was an RN, ICU nurse. So I knew I had an insurance policy that I could eat, and I could pay my car note, and I could pay my apartment rent, which was something a lot of people in the business have. They just had their talent, but I, you know, my father.
You were Julia.
I was Julia without the sun. I have the original Julia doll in horror. I did too.
That's it. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
A whole other show.
Yeah.
Before we forget, though, I want to make sure that people know about how to. First of all, let people know about Nita Whitaker's website, which is NitaWhitaker.com, right?
That's it, NitaWhitaker.com.
And the performance at Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's is January 16th, so that is this Sunday, with a dinner seating from 5:30 to 6, and then the show is at 7.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know, Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's is at 4349 Tahunga Avenue in lovely downtown Studio City, California, just down the street from Bear Soul, a fantastic little shoe store.
That's right.
Very hip
happening.
Great stuff. And the number for reservations at Vitello's, or actually the special dedicated line for reservations, is 818-754-8700.
That's correct.
818-754-8700.
Yes, indeed.
The Courage to Dream is the title of the performance.
Yes.
So cannot wait, Nita Whitaker.
Thank you. And I also want to invite your listeners to tune into Entertainment Tonight, on tomorrow, CBS Channel 2, 7 o'clock, the piece about Ted Williams and the Don LaFontaine.
Oh, fantastic.
It's going to be a piece on us meeting him.
Oh, wonderful.
Tomorrow night.
And that's tomorrow night on Entertainment Tonight.
Yes.
Great.
Awesome.
Yay.
Okay.
Awesome. That's cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Something to look forward to.
Michael, shall we pay the bills with our live arts calendar?
We should do that indeed.
Would you like to kick it off?
I will. Thank you.
Please do.
In the classic comedy Room Service, Gordon Miller, a theatrical director, and his bunch of actors have run up a huge bill at the hotel by his brother-in-law. Hotel run by his brother-in-law, excuse me. With the hotel auditor on the way and no money, the troupe plans to make a run for it until a mysterious backer is discovered. The only problem is they need to stay put until the deal can be finalized. As events unfold, high anxiety and hilarity ensue. Room Service is at the Open Fist Theater January 21st through March 12th.
Award-winning Rick Sparks directs Gerald McCulloch and, Gerald. We had him on the show.
Gerald.
I mispronounced his name.
Make that mistake, he'll come find you.
Yeah, he beat me mercilessly about the face and neck.
Yes.
Gerald McCulloch from CSI and Dan Villa as they reprise the roles they created in the West Coast premiere of Villa's off-Broadway hit Daddy, when golden boy Colin falls for a man half his age, his relationship with best friend Stu is put to the test. Daddy offers a humorous, insightful, and provocative look at love, loyalty, and the cost of things unsaid. New York Daily News editor's pick, Village Voice Choice, Time Out New York Must See, playing through February 13th at the Hudson Main Stage.
And it is a very big hit here, Paul.
It is.
It's open, yes. He's done a fantastic job. He's getting great reviews. And for more information, ladies and gentlemen, about the arts in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California, please visit performingartslive.com and, as always, stateoftheartsla.com.
And if you want to send us an email, you can send it to stateoftheartsla@gmail.com. And I had a lovely intro for Sissy Connor that I don't want to read now.
Why is that?
Because I flipped him the bird.
She flipped me off. Again?
Yes. Small bird.
Because I'm so, yes, small bird for you. And I, with my hands like a tree frog.
You do have a tree frog.
I do.
Did you see those, Nita?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What do you mean those?
Those.
Get the hand.
You're beautiful hands.
Did you see those? Dance, little monkey, dance.
You can hang from a tree.
I can. You know what I can do, though? I can plug both of my ears with one hand. I can do that. Would
do
you
it.
Like to see that?
Yes.
I would.
I'll try to do that. Okay. I have to remove my headset.
Okay.
But I can actually, because, you know, this is not attractive.
Just put it around your neck. Yeah.
Okay. So there now, if I take, now watch very closely. You got the thumb here. Hang on. All the way around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just about. A little shy.
Just a little shy.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to Sissy's
God,
intro
that was
here.
Impressive.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know how to entertain on the radio. Watch this. In 2003, she received a Los Angeles Ovation Award nomination as lead actress for her portrayal of Marlene Dietrich in the play An Evening with Marlene, which, you know, In 2005, she received an ADA nomination for the San Fernando Valley Theater League for the world premiere of herself. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I was talking. Of her self-penned one-woman, critically acclaimed hit
things.
Comedy Plain Crazy at the El Portal Theater. Earlier this year, she directed and starred in the critically acclaimed Tea at Five, portraying Katharine Hepburn. Please welcome actress, singer, writer, and out-and-out annoyance, Sissy Connor is with us here.
Where is that audience?
There they are.
Yay me.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're out of time.
I really enjoy being here.
How are things?
How are things? Things are fine.
You know, you are the second guest, our second return guest, actually, in the 29-30 weeks that we've been on the air.
Thank you.
So we're happy to have you, Sissy.
We're happy to have you back.
Can I come back tomorrow?
And you're always
and
pushing
win?
New things. The last time you were here, you were talking about Tea at Five, but tell us about what's coming up in Palm Springs.
This weekend.
Saturday?
Back with my people, the Desert Rats. Palm Springs, Blame It on Midnight.
Yeah?
It's going to be, I mean, I thought that it was going to be this magical night, and it's turning out to be. Everybody that I knew in Chicago is going to be there. It's going to be a reunion with my piano player that I haven't seen in about 2.5 years.
Who is that?
Lex McCauley.
He's been, Lex.
He's been doing cruise ships for
okay.
a while.
And he's been on the high seas for
he
two
has.
And a half years.
You know what? He threw him over.
He's lucky. The way those cruises are going lately.
Oh,
yeah.
I know.
So Blame It on Midnight.
Yeah, Blame
which
It
is
on Midnight.
It's a great place in Palm Springs.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Good food, fun time. It's going to be a blast.
Fantastic.
It's going to be
You're
really
doing the same
fun
show that you did at
a
last in L.A.?
A little racier.
A little racier?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
How much more racy could
desert.
That
be? Uninhibited and racy. Do tell.
Oh, yeah. So not Sissy Connor.
No, but
what
straight people, I don't know. They
what?
Straight people inhibit me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I am. I'm a little heterophobic.
That's because they're freer.
Yeah, because I get permission to go as far as I would like.
Oh.
And I like to go
yeah.
far.
Yeah.
Well, Sissy, you know, one of the great things about you...
No, forego the obvious joke there.
Thank you.
Well, the great things about you is you not only sing and you're a funny lady, but you also do these amazing impressions.
Why, thank you.
Know?
You. Not very many, though.
Yeah,
I keep doing
do.
The same
I mean,
ones
enough
over
to,
and over again.
No, enough to include, you know, several in your show. You've got it.
Which ones are you including?
Yeah.
I can't tell you that.
No? What, because I'm heterosexual? Is that one?
Come to the show.
You can't share it with me.
Cher, that's it.
You're a heterophobe.
I'm so glad that Cher got new songs in burlesque, because now I have new songs to sing.
And it doesn't Woo! Happen too often, does
I
it?
I was wearing those out.
So, Cher, are you going
yeah.
to be in Palm Springs this weekend?
Yeah, I am, actually. You know, I mean, every time I keep saying, you know, man, you know, it's the last tour, you know, and every time I say it, I mean it. I really, honestly, I do. And, I mean, but the houses, you know, and the operations and cost, you know, I mean. My God, I'm having a really hard time bending my face. I'm sorry. ow.
But let's all bounce quarters off it.
you know, I mean, I'm constantly smiling now, you know, and sometimes I just don't feel that way, you know. I mean, if you imagine me on the other side of this radio thing, smiling at you and saying what I really feel, I am really sad.
But do you believe
I'm
in life
so
after
sad.
Love?
But it's like a dolphin. You can't tell.
Do you believe in life after love? Do you believe?
Yeah. I mean, I do believe in life after love. I do. It's so sad yeah, to be lonely. Yeah. Oh, God.
Wait. I thought I saw something happen in the
what?
Brow. No, it was the light. It was a shadow. I thought I saw your brow move. But it was a shadow.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Yeah. It's just so
I'd be so
bangs.
Excited if it was true.
Now, you know, had Katharine Hepburn, you know, Shirley was alive and well at the beginning of Cher's career, but if she saw her today, what do you think Katie would say about her?
Katie would say, good God, you're a little puffy, dear. Lie down. Lie down, put a cold compress in a dark room. Think quiet. Yes. Give yourself a mini makeover. Shh, don't speak. It'll be fine. And for God's sake, whatever you do, don't look in a mirror. That was cruel and unkind. It was not like me to be that way. However, I'm dead. I can do whatever I want.
No,
that's the good part of being dead. Is it doesn't matter what a damn thing you can say, whatever you damn well feel like. Who's to kill you? Too late. Sorry. Toodaloo, go,
when
shoot.
When you did
what?
Tea at Five.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
When you did Tea at Five, which yes. half did you like better? Because the first half is 38
yes.
and the second half is 83. I mean, it's 1938 and it's 1983. Correct? Am I right?
Yes. Which one would you like?
well, no. I mean, as which one do you think Kate enjoyed more?
Well, let's see. Let's go back in time, shall we?
No, it's okay. We have sound effects.
Oh, here I am.
We have one sound effect.
I know,
effect.
Of course.
We use it for
not yet, really. Oh, it's so good to be back here. Oh, well, what's the question? I'm right here. Don't ask me anything.
Michael, do you have a question for the young Kate?
Well, you know, I know that during that time period of your life, one of the big disappointments in your life was not having been cast as Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind.
Well, it was a disappointment, you know. George Cukor was initially the director of Gone with the Wind, but he wasn't quite macho enough for Clark Gable, so, well, he was out, I was out. I'm not bitter.
Oh, but you got Philadelphia Story out of it.
That's right.
I did. I did, and I loved it. I was brilliant in it. I was. Just ask me. I was a legend in my own mind my entire life.
You just gave me a headache.
Oh, dear. Oh, Anita has a problem, too.
Now I know what Anita was talking about.
The screaming.
I'm back.
So
no, really, really. My
God, I wore myself out.
And when you did Playing Crazy, which was hysterical.
Thank you.
Did they visit like the plane, like because you were the flight attendant and you? It was a great idea. She set the show up that the audience was actually on the plane and that was the way the seating was set up and you sort of.
And I played all the I just played everything. I played two flight attendants and I played like six people. And it was fun.
And you have, from being a flight attendant as long as you were, you have this catalog of comments. What was the one that she said that people used to come up to, men especially, businessmen would come up to her and they would say, hey, you know, what's the likelihood of me getting bumped up to first class? And she'd say, well, pretty high if we hit a mountain at 400 miles an hour. Or what's the other? I'll do all your bits for you.
Thank you.
The oxygen mask?
The oxygen mask?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you people really think that you get oxygen out of this really little tube? We just use it to muffle the screams.
That's a good one.
Which I just love. And the fact that you couldn't get away with any of that now because with the climate and political correctness, you couldn't say any of that. But you must have killed.
Yes, you can. You can say anything as long as you're smiling. Can say...
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You can say anything here because you know what? This is internet radio. There's no FCC. The funniest thing happened...
Really? That's true?
A couple of episodes ago, Michael, who does not really have the mouth that I do, as far as his language goes, is not a big fan of certain words.
Words.
And and right around the holidays, someone let the F word slip. And
I think it was you.
No, I didn't say it. The gentleman was talking about a play he did called Fubar.
Oh, yes, that's right. And you prompted this, though. You prompted.
What am I missing? What are you pointing at?
No, his face.
No, but see, that's my point. This is my point. This is Michael. Because Michael, you know, even if he did say the F word, it would still sound like, you know, cashmere on velvet, you know. And so the guy said, well, the play was called Fubar, which stands for, I don't know if you know, he said, but Fubar stands for fucked up beyond all recognition. And Michael goes, oh, the F word on Christmas.
It's our holiday show. It's our holiday show. Children, listen.
It was the most disapproving paternal. Oh, the F word. It was like you were Burl Ives.
Let's not take it that far, please.
So anyway,
Here in the room with me is Scott Umfrist, and he's gonna sing a song or two down at Blame It on Midnight with me.
Yay!
I'm looking forward to that.
Scott is here.
You're welcome, honey lamb.
And this is you two have performed before.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. And it turns out that Scott, you were also a friend of Nita's.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This
little six degrees.
So you're going to tell them about Blame It on Midnight?
I am going to tell them about where to go. First of all, when it is. It is Saturday, January 15th at 9 o'clock, and there's a midnight show that same night, in effect, right?
I'm just the 9 o'clock show.
Oh, so it's 9.
By 12 o'clock, we're doing our own show.
Oh, bang, chicka, wow, wow, chicka, wow, wow.
And don't forget dinner at 7.
Oh, okay. I'll be. Oh, you mean this? thought you were asking me out there.
Oh, yeah. Casa Vegas, nearby. Oh, this. Sorry.
Blame It on Midnight. Now, you're going to have to help me with the name of this street.
Tarquitz.
Tarquitz. Yeah. Tarquitz. 77 East Tarquitz Canyon Way.
That would be it.
In Palm Springs, California. That's Blame It on Midnight. The website for that, blameitonmidnight.com. For tickets, 760-323-1200. That's 760-323-1200. Or you can learn more about it on Facebook under Blame It on Midnight and Blame Bar. Once again, the date is Saturday, January 15th at 9 o'clock p.m.
And there's not a second show at 12?
Not with me.
Not with
there
you.
There could be one.
All right.
Oh, okay. See, that's what I pulled off here. So it's you guys just
maybe it's a midnight show, wink wink.
Yeah. Well,
yes. A midnight show.
It'd be fitting what with the name of the wink, club. Wink. And all. Don't lose me in the jargon.
Now, Sissy, we're not done with you yet because the one thing that I think is so great about actresses and performers, you were saying that about yourself as a at the beginning of your career being a nurse and having that to fall back on. And you've done this kind of on the backside of your career. I mean, you were a flight attendant for many years. Now you've gone back to your singing and performing, and you've also done something amazing with a shoe store.
Thank you.
Called Bare Soul,
yeah,
which
Bare
is
Soul.
Very, very cool and
That's
very
your
hip.
That's
my
yeah.
store. Yeah. It came from a
it's
dream.
It's her store. It's her idea.
Do you have size 11s?
I do. And the girl, you have no idea.
Miss Girl.
Oh,
I'm
honey.
Weak.
I can, and I can make you. You come in. We have everything in stock, right? And we stock 11s and we stock 12s.
Oh.
And we can make 13s or 14s or 15s.
Now
hello.
You're talking polstro.
Wow. I know.
Yeah, now you're talking men's.
We can make anything. Wow. And we can make wide sizes. So we not only do we have everything in stock, but I know about your feet, man. Okay. We have everything in stock, but we also can custom anything you'd like, too. So if you'd like this heel and this top or that color,
so
we
who
can.
Makes the shoe?
But sis, yeah.
We do 20 minutes away from Bare Soul up in on Glen Oaks Boulevard. We have a small factory.
No way.
But Sissy, explain the premise, the idea yeah. that started it, yeah. the whole combination.
The whole thing started from. Picture loops on the side of a shoe, on the perimeter of the shoe, and then you can interchange the straps. So you can change the straps and the color and the look of your shoe every day by adding accessories or changing the color of the strap. And so one shoe becomes as many shoes as you want it to be by changing the look. They're beautiful. And the most important thing I think about the shoes is the comfort factor. Nobody's ever made a good-looking shoe. I mean, beautiful, drop-dead, gorgeous shoe with thick padding for women.
Hello.
Monica
Hello.
Took the shoes. My wife, Monica, has a couple of pairs of the Bare Soul shoes. And she was just this weekend. She's like, they're clouds that strap to my feet.
Oh,
what they
wow.
Are.
That
I
was,
am
yeah.
so
nice compliment.
Store.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I have big-footed girls I'll be bringing.
Oh, you know what? They'll be so happy because they can't find pretty shoes, and I can make them fit. And even if you got any issues, you know, a lot of women have issues from wearing poor shoes or poorly made shoes all their lives, and they come in, and we can take care of them, and they're so grateful. And I just got an email today from a lady in Australia saying all her friends are really interested. You know, down under.
Oh, and down under.
And Sissy, you also make the shoes for men, too. Not
only
the
right
same
now,
with the,
yeah, flip-flops.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're gorgeous.
I
and
saw
they're,
them.
Yeah,
I saw
gorgeous.
Them at your
they're
grand
very
opening.
European.
And often she gives
very
me
cool.
the boxes and
very
some
cool.
twine to strap to my feet.
Give us the address so we'll know where to go, so people will know.
Yes, yeah. 4363 Tahunga.
And
right
the,
down from Vitello's.
And the website is baresoul.com.
Mm-hmm.
B-A-R-E.
S-O-L-E.
Yeah, just and they were. You guys so were featured funny. On Leno's show a couple of months ago.
We were,
you?
And then KTLA and Extra wants to do a thing on us, and so you know people are really they love it, so they want to talk
happened.
About it. It's
so
really neat.
So that's just it. You know, go.
So
go
my
go,
daughter go, is there, and she loves to tie you up.
Oh, wow. That's Whoa. Worth the trip alone.
And if you saw Sissy's daughter, you would realize that's a very
it's
interesting prospect. Oh, no.
She's
no.
really
She's
cute.
So people can actually, what we're saying here is that people can actually come to see Nita Whitaker at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's on Sunday, mm-hmm. the 16th. Mm-hmm. Get there a little bit early. Walk Keep right down the street, about 100 feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find Bare Soul. There's a little shopping mm-hmm. there. Put it in your bag. Put it in your car. Come to dinner at Sterling's. See this fabulous show by this fabulous woman.
But come for the shoes.
Shoes.
Here it is. Come for the shoes. Stay for Nita.
Hey,
there you go.
I like
there
it.
You go.
Because if you've got on some cute shoes and they're comfortable, you are happy.
You're happy. You're a good audience.
And you can wear your shoes all day at a wedding and never take them off.
Because, see, I have 10-minute shoes. They mm-hmm. look really cute from the walk mm-hmm. from the car to the place. Yeah. And you have to take those girls off.
But we all do.
Oh, yeah.
We all have those.
Oh, they're terrible. They look so cute, but you can't keep them on. Your feet are just screaming.
Yeah. No. These are gorgeous, and you can keep them on forever.
I've tried those Taran Rose. They're just matronly looking. They look so horrible. So I'm
No, these are classy. They're so sexy.
No, they really are.
We got some super duper sexy. Girl, you are in. Girl, you come on. Hooking you up.
I think there's a discount coming somewhere.
All right, we only have about 5 minutes left, so we have to ask you both. One of the things we like to do on State of the Arts is ask you to share your most embarrassing, humiliating, or disastrous onstage or performing nightmare. Worst thing to happen to you, embarrassing. What do you got, Nita?
Oh, yeah, I've got one. Yeah. So I'm at this party, right? And I don't want to drop names, so I'm going to have to. So it was a lot of celebrities there, including...
That's all we do here, drop names.
Wink,
you know that.
Wink Martindale, and just... I can't even tell you the A-list of, Kenny G, and just a whole bunch of musician singer types. And I was singing at an anniversary... And it was a song that they wanted me to do, and the words did not stick. Mm-hmm. They just did not. I had written them 100, they just wouldn't go in. And I had my cheat sheet, lost a cheat sheet. Got up to the song, and I am midway, and the words went to Dexter. They just left and flew, and I thought, the only time I've ever... completely forgot, and I got flabbergasted. If I could have turned red, black people don't go red. But if I could have, I would have been six shades. I was mortified.
You would have gone burgundy.
Yes! Right. I would have been burgundy, honey, blue, black, or something.
But did you la la la?
I la la la'd. But the inside, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I am in front of all these people. And I kind of caught on the other end, but I was mortified. I've never forgotten.
At least you la la la'd, because I've heard stories where people just start naming the seven dwarves or something.
See, that would have at least been funny. Then I tried to redeem myself with another song, and it was a ballad. I might as well have slit my wrist. I was like, oh gosh, I should have chosen an upbeat song or something. It was just dreadful. I think my worst performance ever.
Great, Nita, great. Yeah. The guests are jumping in the pool.
That doesn't happen at my show. Come to my show.
No.
Sissy Connor.
We all have those songs. Yeah. I was a long time ago.
Sissy's like, I was at this party and the singer forgot all the words.
Is that you, Nita? She looked just like you.
Oh my God, I was this older black man in Chicago was teaching me, and he used to say, baby, 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 when you sing, you got to sing the blues, right? So I'm singing Ode to Billy Joe in this nightclub, right? And it's got 17 verses. Well, I never sang the song before, but I was sounding really good because there's only 3 notes and that's all I got. So, man, I was on fire. Anyway, so I'm getting to the 3rd verse and all the people in the restaurant got up and came in to see this singer. And so next thing I look and there's a million people looking at me. And I could hear people got real still and real quiet. And I looked at them like a deer in headlights and went blank. And Les is going, go ahead, baby, you can do it. And I'm going, I'm gone, man. I'm gone. Anyway, I blushed for 2 weeks on that. But that's not my story.
And some of the audience goes, I saw you with Kenny G. What's your story?
Okay, really fast. Okay, I'm doing this play.
2 minutes.
Okay, I'm doing this play. In the first act, 2 people die. It's a one-person play. I killed off the wrong 2 people. But in order for the play to go on, those people have to be alive. So I have to say in front of 450 people, oh my God, I'm so distraught. What did I say? I meant to say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so then I brought one of them back and forgot the other one. Now I'm in the same position again. Now I only got one of them. In order for the play to go on, the other one has to come back to life somehow too. So I go, oh dear God, I must be really... Oh, it must be the meds. I don't know. And then I say, oh, did I say so-and-so? I meant so-and-so. So Now the adrenaline starts to pump in my body so rapidly that it looks like dry ice is all over the stage. There starts to be smoke everywhere. And it was because I was right before fainting, right? So then I hear my voice go, and it was like I had died. And I went to actor's heaven.
Does that actually happen when you're just about to faint?
Yeah.
Do you see mist
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've pulled myself out of it, and then I heard my voice go, like you turn it on to 72, revving back up,
right.
And the smoke disappeared, and I was fine. I was back to, like, normal, but for that, wow. that was unbelievable.
Yeah, that is the actor's nightmare. You have dreams like that where stuff like that happens. It never actually happens.
So you kind of went over to the other side.
Oh. Go toward the light, Carol Ann. All are
foggy.
Welcome.
It was fog. It wasn't light. Go toward the fog.
She thinks it's rain. She thinks she's fainting. It's just cloudy outside. okay, we want to we got to talk about who's going to be on here
next week,
but also we want to make sure that we're going to play this lovely track from Nita to play us off the air.
Yes,
so we can hear a little
indeed.
Of
so be sure to join us next week, ladies and gentlemen, when our in-studio guests are Broadway star Jason Grah.
And from NBC's smash hit Parks and Recreation, good friend Jim O'Hare. And as we sign off, here is a little more. We're going to thank both of our guests for coming,
indeed.
Nita and Sissy. Thank you so much.
And Scott as well.
Yes.
Thank you, Scott. I'm
so
sure sitting here with us.
And what we have here is the lovely and talented Nita Whitaker singing Until Now.
Before there was a me and you, my friendships ended up misunderstood. Sometimes I would wake up scared, the sound of silence in the air, and morning never came around too soon. But nobody heard the song when I was.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.